Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, can you hear me? 1 second.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Appreciate it, Holmes.
My bad. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, we
hear you. Unmuted me. Thank you. Please.
Hey, I see. Hey, Aaron. I see you got yourself out there. Like you had a lot of work, man.
Yeah, man. I still got to go out there and do my mom's in a second, but you know. Hey, man. I'm used to it. South Dakota prepared me, man.
Yeah,
y'all
look.
And we got
Trent on.
What up? What up?
T Sizzle in the building.
I got to look up some best black baseball players right now because all I know is Mookie Betts supposed to be one of the better players?
Mookie Betts, D. Gordon. D. Gordon definitely carrying the flag.
Yeah.
Adam Jones, man. I mean,
oh, yeah.
You know, perennial all-star, Andrew McCutchen,
yeah.
You know, I mean, we got guys, and they do work. I mean, it's a much more complex issue that I'm going to get into when we get on, I guess.
Okay. Well, cool. I'm going to start it in, like, 10 seconds.
All right, man, go ahead.
And welcome back to HCCU Voice. I'm your host, Jonathan Alexander, staff writer for the News and Observer. Here with the three co-hosts this time. We got a full house this time. We got Aaron, Charlemagne, Saunders, Jerome, a.k.a. Rome Brown, Jr., and Trenton Married Life Little. How are you doing, fellas?
What does the married life mean?
That you married and you off the market.
I know.
You
like, off the market.
Like I'm, sound like I'm locked up, though. Married life little.
You are.
Like I'm locked up.
You are locked up. That's what marriage is. Clank, clank. Locked up.
Hey, man, I don't know what the married life is. We leave that up to you.
Oh, man, that's crazy, but I'm happy to be here. Thanks for inviting me, John.
Yeah, no problem. We got a good show. Another interesting topic. We want to get right into it. Rachel Robinson had some choice words for the Major League Baseball in a question and answer session that she's doing for a documentary on Jackie Robinson, in which Rachel Robinson said that basically that the Major League Baseball really isn't doing enough to honor the legacy of her husband based off the number of African Americans in the game. Let's relate that back to HBCU sports. The numbers are pretty similar. I don't have the exact numbers, but I know it was 7.8% African Americans in Major League Baseball. When I was doing research a few years ago, it was about 6-point-something% in college baseball. So let me ask y'all, fellas, do you think Rachel Robinson has a point? If you could start it off, Aaron.
This is a hard one. And bear with me, everyone out there, because it may take me a second to break this down. Major League Baseball-wise, from their standpoint, I think they've done a great job in honoring Jackie Robinson's legacy. They have Jackie Robinson Day every year where every player wears number 42 now. It started off with being black player that will wear 42 or one player that will wear 42, and everyone does it. I think maybe team by team things could be done a little bit better. I would like to see, and I don't know if the Cleveland Indians have it, but Larry Doby Day, who's the second African-American to play, you know, baseball. I think individual teams have to take more of an effort to step into communities to increase African-Americans playing the game. Not just Major League Baseball as a whole. They do have the RBI program, which they schedule. Now, I will also say, well, you know what? I'll wait to get into that. Going to the college level, it's really difficult because college is all about recruiting and getting out and finding those guys, going into places where you haven't heard of to see guys. And it's not just inner city baseball. There are counties like PG County or how around Atlanta, where you obviously have Atlanta the city and then the surrounding counties around it or the surrounding neighborhoods suburbs around it where kids play baseball. So it's really about going out and finding guys all over. And baseball and college recruiting is such a regional thing. You can be recruited by Arizona State or a Delaware, where I'm from, but might not even get recruited by Maryland, you know. Or we'll say you can be recruited by Virginia. I know a specific player that I grew up playing with who was recruited by Rice in North Carolina, but wasn't recruited by his own home state of Maryland. See, it recruiting, and he was African-American, and recruiting is just funny in that way. It depends on what each team needs at a specific position. And going down to the Boys and Girls Club level, I know where I'm from, we haven't done a good job of continuing kids playing. There's been this, the kids play at like 8 and 9 and 10, and then they stop playing at 11, 12, 13, and so on and so forth. They go on to playing just football or basketball, which is another issue that kids have been pushed to become one sport oriented as opposed to being able to play multiple sports along the lines. And that is a baseball problem as well, because we're pushing tryouts earlier and earlier. I know, for example, my brother plays football and baseball. He's good, and he's better in football than he is in baseball, but he can play baseball well. His teams like to have tryouts in October. He's in the middle of football season in October. I can't ask him to step away from the football field in October to get ready for baseball. That's hard, in addition to doing his schoolwork. That's difficult. So this push to make everyone play all year round in every one of the sports is really what's hurting the entire pool of athletes. That's my basic opinion, and I'll step into the race issue later once everyone else talks about it.
Yeah,
I guess I'll go ahead. I mean, Ron, do you want to go?
Yeah, I guess kind of following up just what on some things Aaron said is more of a, you know, he talked about the year-round thing, and I think it's a lot of culture more than anything. Like, you got to think about 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. The times are different a little bit. I mean, kids, the attention span isn't the same. I mean, I don't want to sound old. I'm only 25, but just a game like baseball, you know, it's a slow game. It's long, you know, it's not basketball, it's not football. It's, the glamour isn't there. So I guess when you look at black kids around the country, I mean, not only we don't really push it, but also got to look at the type of the game it is. This is a fun game. It's one of my favorite sports, but kind of look at the culture of the game, the culture of the present day of just people in general. It's kind of hard to sell baseball if you don't see it on TV all the time, or if you don't have a field around the corner, and you talk about the entry-level cost to play baseball, which, you know, yeah, certain places there aren't, but there's a lot of factors. And I mean, I agree with Aaron. MLB has done a great job of honoring Jackie Robinson. I mean, it's April 15th every year. You know, there's going to be a lot of things commemorating his memory and all the things he did, and just the impact he had on the game. Yeah. I hate to
sound like Uncle Ruckus, but I'm just tired of the fake outrage or the let me push my agenda. Because I feel like there's a lot of people just trying to push their own agenda and trying to, like, I guess, base it off of race, when honestly I don't see the I think Jackie Robinson is celebrated in the MLB arena. I'm not a baseball fan, and that was basically piggybacking off of Jerome. That was just something I couldn't get into as a young kid. I didn't watch baseball. So now, being older, now being 25, if it's on TV, it's going to take the most out of me to watch it, at least two or three. I mean, at the most, two or three innings. But I just feel like the issue is that a lot of, like, growing up, baseball is not a glamorous sport. As a black kid, it can't compete with football. It can't compete with basketball. So I think it has to be more, like, Rachel Robinson has to look inward rather than looking outward, like, oh, okay, you need to do something about this. Because I think it's our issue that we have to deal with. If we want more black baseball players, then how about we start creating black teams as a, you know, having black baseball, creating black baseball players as a young child. If that's something you're not doing as a young child, you're not going to grow and start playing in high school or middle school and then maybe in college in a professional league. I just think growing up as a young black kid, you don't really glamorize baseball, so it's not going to be something that I want to play.
I would disagree with Trent just a little bit in the sense that guys are playing, kids do play T-ball in 8 years old and 9 and 10. It's just, especially guys our age, they did play when they were 7, 8, 9. Something in between there happened, and you lose guys.
I can tell you exactly what happened. The cost, as you get older, it costs to get another glove, it costs to get another bat, you know, so bear with me as I try to make this point. Okay, so most of the people in the professional role, and bear with me, as far as African-Americans go, most of the people who try to attack the professional role are lower income people, most of them, not all of them, because you have a lot of high income people who try to go after the pros. But I'm saying, you know, most of them are of the lower income. And if you look at baseball, that's one of the most expensive sports to play, because gloves cost, I know I was looking at a glove for my little cousin not too long ago, that's like $200. Bat, a good baseball bat, something like $200. Just the cost around it, and then travel, even playing travel ball is more expensive than travel basketball. So I think a whole bunch of factors are against it. And then this other thing is, when you look on TV, who is on TV? Which superstars are on TV? Which black role models are on TV? The black role models that I see on TV are LeBron James.
I agree with that. That has something to do with what Trent said, though. The popularity of the sports. Baseball is no doubt falling back to number three, behind football and basketball. So of course LeBron James and Odell Beckham are going to be pushed more than Adam Jones or Andrew McCutcheon, because they're bigger names nationally. Baseball is sort of morphed into being more of a regional thing as opposed to actually being a huge national thing. Now, of course, you got your guys like Mike Trout and Bryce Harper, who just so happen to be the best two young baseball players in America, and they're white. So, yes, you're going to have that. Now, Andrew McCutcheon is definitely up there, but those two guys are the unquestioned best young guys. And when we were growing up, we had a Ken Griffey Jr., to be that, and a Barry Bonds to be that. Now, we have talented guys, yes, but you do have to have that Ken Griffey-like figure. When I just was talking about it on Twitter the other day when Ken Griffey went into the Hall of Fame. Ken Griffey brought a different type of swag to baseball at that time. Like, Ken Griffey had me wanting to be a center fielder, and I was. Ken Griffey had me wanting to go out there and pimp it out when I get a hit. And run and chase balls down. And Torrey Hunter taught me how to basically get enjoyment out of robbing somebody from a home run, as opposed to actually hitting a home run itself. We do have those guys, but it's so much different now. And I don't want to take up too much time, but to step back into the expense and cost of it, I agree. I'll say two things. Trent said having a black team. I played on an all-black team in high school summer league, and we were really good. We actually had 7 kids go play college baseball. Myself and Anthony Wilson played at North Carolina Central playing baseball off of this team. We had a great time. We won, and we were all pretty good. Now, there are less of those teams today. 100% agree with that, and I will agree with Jonathan. Cost has a lot to do with it. I started my own youth baseball organization, and in encountering that, the most frustrating thing is the cost, because we have, and I started this organization and because everything here is travel ball, travel ball, travel ball, which we sort of are a travel baseball team, but they cost $500 and $600 for these kids just to be on a team. And where I live and where I grew up, we can't afford $500 to play on a team to then also have to pay for uniforms on that team and then to also have to pay for a $300 bat and a $150 glove. When I played, and I'll tell you guys all the teams I played for growing up. I played for a team called the Black Barons in D.C. I started off with Peppermill Pirates at 8 years old, played for the Black Barons, and I played for Number 6 Boys and Girls Club, which I don't even think they still have a team that's in D.C. Then I came out to Bowie to play, which is where my game developed because it's a little bit better baseball out here. And then I ended up going to high school and playing, and I played for Bowie all the way through high school until I played for this all-black team called the Barons and then went to college. And, yes, Legion Baseball was in there as well. But today, these kids, the cost, $150 for a glove and $200, I never had a $200 glove. Even in college, I still have my college baseball glove. It was $35. It was $35. My bat maybe about $120. The equipment alone buries you. The equipment
see, I don't
alone
think
buries
the,
you.
I don't think the cost is that different than consider playing an AAU basketball team. You're still throwing out hundreds of dollars. The difference is you have these coaches that are willing to invest in these basketball players because. Well, not even. I won't even consider them. Say they're coaches because some of these dudes aren't even coaches. They play basketball. They have a love for the game. So if they see some talent in a young child, then they're going to try to invest in that child's future. I don't see that happening in baseball too much because I don't
well,
think
it,
a lot of
it does.
Us,
it just
I don't think a lot of
is,
us are like have that love for baseball. Like I consider you a minority,
it does happen, Trent. The problem is that. I agree with you. You have a lot of people who take interest in that, but the problem is people invest in the best black kid in baseball. People invest in the whole team when it comes to basketball at that age. Yeah,
no,
people pay $5,000. You're right to play on these AAU basketball teams. They pay all of this money, and you have people who do pay for that, and you have sponsors that figure it out. The difference is for baseball, truth be told, is you don't have a whole bunch of team Mellows and a team Durant. You don't have a lot of that. You just don't. You don't have the
and that's what I'm saying. You don't have those
baseball
players sponsoring. Yeah, you don't have those past players or past people past baseball players. With that want to build, like want to throw it back into the future of the game. I don't see
I would agree with that
in basketball and you don't even have to have big names like a Carmelo Anthony or Kevin Durant. You can have somebody that was a local high school basketball star who wants to start his own AAU team or wants to start not even an AAU team who wants to start his little local basketball team. He's going to invest in these future kids. I don't see that happening a lot in the baseball arena. That's what I'm saying.
Well, I would agree that we don't have enough guys coming back to actually help and sticking with it. You know, they might come back for 1 year, 2 years, and then they just fall off. And maybe that has something to do with baseball, you know, being a sort of a loner sport. You know, a lot of times these guys who make it to the mountaintop are the only African-American guy around, which is, I guess when we talk about race in Major League Baseball, that can be a problem. And to sort of go back into what the conversation was to start off with Rachel Robinson, her gripe could be that how come when you're a black player you have to be a starter or a superstar? How many black players you see sitting on the bench? How many fourth black outfielders are there in the major leagues? How come when you're a black baseball player, it's not good enough just to be a good all-around baseball player? How come you have to be a guy, a dog, or else you're going to be sitting in the minor leagues?
See, my only gripe with her is like, okay, well, who are you placing that responsibility on? That responsibility has to be on us as a community. You can't replace that.
Yep.
I mean, you can't put that responsibility on, oh, the MLB or, you know, saying some other, like, you can't place, you have to look inward. You can't look on the outward for our issue.
Yeah, I agree with that, that the issue can't be solely on the MLB, and I think they've done a good enough job to get it done. I think Trent is right. It's on us as a community to continue it going on. But John also has a point that expense plays a large role in it. My team cost $100 to play for, and I'm footing the bill for most of the equipment and uniforms and league costs. And insurance. Most people can't do that. And I'll tell you right now, Trent, I don't have parents that could pay $500 just to play on the team. It's, my parents couldn't do it. And my parents both had jobs, but we could not afford $500 just to get on the team, and then another $100 for a uniform, and another $150 for a glove, and another $300 for a bat. And we haven't talked about catcher's equipment and helmets and all of those things. And, like I said, uniform costs.
Yeah. I'm going to step back in real quick. But, I mean, when you think about, you got to kind of plead to the MLB, because there's an influence, there's a funding that, you know, that can influence the trickle down to the communities and get the money in. I think the interest will be there. I mean, I got to salute Aaron for doing what he's doing, because, I mean, that's where it starts, in the community. And then you'll see another Barry Bonds, or you'll see another D. Gordon in the league, and just in Major League Baseball. And I think, of course, it's a community effort that's where it starts. But, I mean, having the MLB's influence and the money and just that publicity will help baseball at the grassroots level.
Would you say that MLB's
influence? I agree exactly what you said. I agree exactly what he said.
I look at the talent that's coming out of the Dominican Republic or these different Caribbean. You know what I'm saying?
Don't count that. They got academies. It's not the same. They playing.
Okay, but what I'm saying is it didn't start. It didn't start like that. What I'm saying, the talent was always there, right?
Yeah, it was there. Don't get me wrong. And I'll say this: we don't have kids playing stickball in the street, but I'm gonna be honest with you. If I had all day to focus on baseball, bro, at 5'7", 150, I still could have been Dustin Pedroia if I had to play it all day. If I could play it all day, and that's what my focus was.
I just feel like these MLB scouts, they find the talent. So I think it's our responsibility to, if you want that talent, then invest in the talent. I mean, I'm just tired of hearing the same old excuses.
If that's the case, then Trent, how come, I'll give you a perfect case in point. How come we see guys that are sons of GMs and major league coaches in baseball getting drafted, hitting 250 in high school or in college, and we got guys that's hitting 400 at HBCUs and 385 and not getting drafted? But
well, that happens everywhere.
That happens in all sports.
But
they find the talent, though, right? That's what you just said, right?
That happens in the NBA also. You have Corey Higgins, who shouldn't even be on an NBA roster, but he's in the NBA. That happens everywhere. You can't give me that. Like, no,
yeah,
that happens everywhere.
The difference is, somebody's going to get in. I agree with that, Trent, but the difference is in the NBA you got two rounds. In Major League Baseball you got 48 or 50. You mean to tell me you can't, in 48 and 50 rounds, we can't add maybe 10 HBCU guys in 50 rounds? And everybody know from 40 to 50, you throwing away draft picks anyway on high school kids is probably not even going to sign, right?
I mean, well, that's the same thing for every HBCU. Like, HBCU with football, it's the same way. You have 300 players that get drafted, but how many of those players come from the HBCU?
Yeah.
I mean, the same deal.
A little different. Once again, seven rounds. That's seven rounds. We talking about 50 rounds, Trent. 50. Somebody told me that Akeem Hood wasn't good enough to play minor league baseball or get a shot at rookie ball. Somebody told me that. Somebody told me that the Avery brothers at Shaw weren't good enough to get a shot at rookie ball. Y'all don't even know who they are, do you?
I don't know who the Avery brothers are, but I know who Akeem Hood was.
Somebody told me that Luis, who played at Central a couple years ago, wasn't good enough to play rookie ball. Come on, man.
I mean, like I said, I understand what you're saying, but you can make that same excuse for every different arena. I mean,
you can, but the difference is you don't have 50 rounds, Trent. 2 rounds and 7 rounds is different than 50 rounds, Trent, and that's different.
How many players are total?
And you're also adding high school into it. So you going from in college football, ain't nobody going from high school to the NFL. Nobody's going from high school to the NBA. No, anymore. You got to go through college. So we talking about guys that are proven. We're talking about college and high school. We're talking about 50 rounds. There's a difference between 50 rounds, and this is also going back to the conversation we had last week when we talked about NFL talent going to HBCUs. When we had more rounds in the NFL, yeah, we had a lot more HBCU guys making it to the league. Now, all I'm saying is, if we're going to talk about major leagues doing something, I would say team by team, examine HBCUs a little bit more. There were only maybe two scouts that would come around to Central, and at the time it was the Phillies and it was the Kansas City Royals. And the Royals really actually had made an effort to draft and sign guys. Eric, who played at NCCU the last few years, is with the Royals now. He was signed by the Royals. Because they
but
made
me,
an effort.
I mean, that sounds like the Rooney rule or Eddie Robinson rule. I mean, of course, okay, if they go to examine more HBCUs, that doesn't mean more HBCU players get drafted. That just means, okay,
hey,
I've served my purpose.
We,
I've been to an HBCU.
But,
all right.
But we got more with the Rooney rule than we did without it. People could talk about it and say that, yeah, man, it might hurt you because you might continue to get interviews but might not get hired. And the same could be said for in journalism that, yeah, we interview people just to say we did it, say we interviewed a minority, but there's always going to be that one Mike Tomlin that get in.
I mean, I agree with you from the standpoint that it needs more exposure. I agree from that standpoint, but at the same time, I just feel like that, I don't know, that's not that's not going to make a difference. I don't see it making a difference. I do agree that it needs more exposure, though.
Mike Piazza in the Hall of Fame, he was drafted in the 48th round. I'm just saying, you never know. It might make a difference. You might get your a couple of lucky Hall of Famers. you may do it. This is not to say that we haven't had guys. North Carolina A&T turned out three guys, and Xavier Macklin, C.J. Beatty. I mean, those guys were fantastic, and they got there. And I think Chris Jones was the first one. They had guys going. It's been guys to go from college or HBCUs to make it to that level. Now, those guys were heavily touted guys, but it could be done. I would say it's definitely a problem. I would say the MLB needs to take a look at that. But everything else in terms of grassroots trying, they've done the best they can. And Trent is right. We as a community sort of have to continue to push. Our local businesses have to step in and sponsor baseball teams, youth baseball teams. Local rec centers have to continue to have teams. And the biggest thing is, guys like myself, guys like all of my baseball teammates, all of these guys who played baseball in college have to come back and coach those teams. You can't just rely on dad to coach those teams. You have to come back and step in.
Hey, Aaron, I got to end it. Sorry. Thanks for listening to us on HBCU Voice. Ran out of time. We out. My bad. I got a surprise for y'all. Coming up, looking at a different venue to to do these, thinking about partnering with Central. And I got a conversation going with, what's her name, DL? What's her name again?
Oh, yeah, DL.
Yeah, DL. And she was interested in us being able to somehow, I guess, use their studio so we can record it. I mean, we don't have to use this stupid Blog Talk Radio anymore.
Hey, if it could be done, I'm happy to talk Central with anybody, you know. That's cool, DL.
And definitely, like, I mean, I look at having one, like, maybe like Homecoming or something, having one, like, a big one, you know what I'm saying? Just to have
studio, that would be crazy on a Friday night, bro. I'm down with that. That'd be wild.
Yeah, and then what's the TV lady's name?
Felicia Casey Hicks.
Yeah, she was interested in doing something too, but I just didn't know what she had in mind. So I didn't know. Next time y'all came down here, maybe we could do some Breakfast Club type stuff. They record us in the video.
That'd be cool, man.
I gotta lose weight, so the camera adds 10 or 15 pounds on y'all. I don't need to look like 300.
Yeah,
that'd be cool though.
I'll tell you, but yeah, she's supposed to be giving me a call Tuesday, so I'll let y'all know what the details are so we can figure this out, because I'm about tired of Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, man.
I didn't want to spend on it, and then we find a different program. So
yeah, absolutely.
Did y'all hear any breakup in the any static at all?
Nah, I don't know.
I was running my mouth.
Yeah, me and Trent was in a heated debate over here, boy.
All right.
So, yeah, cool.
I just wanted to make sure. All right. I appreciate it, y'all.
All right, bye. All right,
cool. Have a good conversation. All right. Peace.
Yeah.